Hey, y'all, this is Bud Elliott, and this is the Nolcast, Instant Reaction Podcast. For those of you joining us for the first time on an Instant Reaction, welcome. We do these, and by we, I usually mean me, sometimes Edgar. After the game, it is now 2:08. Just made it back to the hotel and been up about 20 hours straight now. Grandmother passed away, Irma Wilson. She was 98. Great woman. World War II veteran, and went to her funeral this morning over Montgomery and then drove over for the game, and been up about 20 hours now, so if I sound tired, that's an accurate reflection, and hope you just bear with me. Ingram Smith and I will do a fuller podcast likely tomorrow night. I'm not sure if we're going to wait to see if Jimbo has a press conference on Labor Day, so... As always, the show is brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce and Madison Social. Louisiana Hot Sauce has been a great sponsor for us this year. Happy to have them on board for another season, which I still think will be a good season. And Madison Social is, look, it's the place to go in Tallahassee to watch a ball game, to have a beer, to sit on the porch, especially as the weather turns nice, and to get some really quality food as well. Instant Reaction podcasts are typically shorter than our other shows, honestly, because it's a monologue, and it's because it's oftentimes a tired one. 24-7. And I really don't feel like the score fully captured how close that game was for a large part of it. I think what I'm going to do here is I'm going to talk about special teams first, because that was the most important part of the game by far, and it almost never is. And then we'll talk a little defense, and we'll talk a little offense, and maybe where the season goes from here. But holy cow, was that bad. If they let Jay Graham, the special teams coordinator, on the airplane tonight, man... Block punt, bad decision to field a kickoff, fumbling the kickoff, not lining up correctly on the punt, having to take a timeout on another one because you're lined up incorrectly, having to hustle a guy off the field on another one because you're lined up incorrectly, don't have enough guys on the field, have too many guys on the field. If I'm the defense, I couldn't be angrier. And to some extent, the offense, but blocked field goal. I don't think I've ever seen a game, a Florida State game, maybe not any game of importance where special teams was such a big deal. I mean, that Bama goes and gets that punt untouched. They knock that field goal down pretty easy. Shank punt from Logan Tyler. Not a good punter still. I mean, just it's not happening. I'm not trying to be mean to the kid. He's not intentionally trying to punt poorly. He just does it. He's not good at this point. I'm going to try and count this up live on the air, but man. Florida State had 13 drives. Alabama had 13 drives, so that's 13 drives. The average field position, if you take out the drive right before the half where you're taking a knee if you're Alabama, and obviously the last drive of the game for Florida State where, the average field position in this game was 45.5 yard line for Alabama. I don't think I've ever seen a number like that. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but I not in the games that I've covered do I recall something like that happen. I mean, that is absurd. Florida State's was 23.3. So let's do some math real quick here. Apologize if you can hear me typing. 45.5 minus 23.3 is 22.2 times 13 drives. is 289 yards of hidden field position, not to mention the turnovers and not to mention the loss of points for not being able to kick a field goal. 289 yards in hidden yardage. That's more yards in hidden yards, field position yards, than Florida State had in total yards. That's more yards in hidden yards than Alabama had in hidden yards. 289 hidden yards, field position starting yards. Bama had 269 total yards. Buck 73 rushing, 96 passing. Florida State had 250, 40 and 210. That's the story of your game. And I'm not going to hit end record here because we're only 5 minutes into the show. But when I look at this thing, well, that was the story of the game. We'll get to the ultimate longer-term story of the game. But I don't know how you can not make some serious changes after something like that, especially after Saban's comments indicate that they knew they could go get a punt because they saw essentially a fundamental flaw in Florida State's punt coverage. .289 yards in a game that wasn't even played that fast. That was one of the, tempo-wise. The game was over before you even realized it. The clock ran. Neither side ran all that many plays. I mean, Florida State got 60. Alabama got 60. That's extremely low number. I mean, the clock ran all night. Everybody got out of there in a real reasonable hour. I've certainly recorded these at 3 or 3:30 before for some of these real marathon games. And for a primetime game with all those commercials, that game went extremely well time-wise. But wow, is that bad. I don't know if I've ever seen a game get approach 300 hidden yards. I mean, whew. Now, I just realized I still had my microphone on the two-way setting, so I really hope I wasn't picking up some kind of weird reverberation on that. If I was, I apologize. So yeah, special teams, terrible. The only thing that wasn't that bad was punt coverage, and even then they got a penalty for a late hit on Matthew Thomas for roughing a guy who had called for a fair catch. And you could say it wasn't a super obvious fair catch, but I don't know. In the press box, it looked pretty obvious to me. And so I set all that up with an interesting thing here. Look, the realizing where Alabama started on average on their drives and just how well FSU's defense played, and you could say, look, Alabama's offense is not good. That's not true. It's not pretty, but it's usually pretty damn effective, and they usually score a lot of points after all without running a whole lot of plays because they have the best athlete, you know, the best players in college football, and they had the best coaches in college football, to be frank. I mean, that's why I picked them to win the game. Now, I didn't think they'd blow them out like this, but I also didn't think the special teams would completely crap the bed. This is one of the best defensive games I think you will ever see Florida State play. To hold Alabama to 4.5 yards a play is, I mean, pretty absurd. Let's pull up our friends at CFB Stats here and look at 2016. Let's see if Alabama was held under 4.5 yards a play in any game last year. And I can see that, no, they were not, actually. How about 2015? Nope. In 2014. So it's been 3 years since Alabama was held under 4.5 yards of play or fewer. 4.3 against Arkansas, October 11th, 2014. Doesn't happen often. Florida State had a great game plan tonight. I outlined some of that on SB Nation after the game started with you know, when we identified and I drew it up in the press box. their fronts, and they mixed their coverage as well. They dared Alabama to throw. For the most part, they contested those throws very well. Alabama had the one big pass, 53-yarder. It happens. You know, you're going to need more than 7 points to beat Alabama. Holding them to 24 is kind of a dream scenario. And it's a real dream scenario for your defense to play like this when the average starting field position is the 46-yard line. I mean, that is... it's hard for me to describe just how absurd that is. But, God, that was bad. The defense... When's the last time you saw a defensive line manhandle Alabama's offensive line like that? They really didn't run the ball very well. I mean, Jalen Hurts had a decent number of scrambles. Damian Harris had kind of the one long carry, and then that was basically it. Bo Scarborough, 2.7 yards a rush. Najee Harris, 1.7. Bama's a better team than FSU is. I'll give them that. But this defense, if it's not the best in the country, it's damn sure one of them. And the coordinator tonight, who you're left with a lot of questions about, is not Charles Kelly. It's the special teams coordinator. They used Derwin James well. For the most part, they kept blockers off Brian Burns. I thought the linebackers were active and did a pretty good job. I don't want to go too in-depth on the player stuff because I want to rewatch the game tomorrow. They squandered one of the best defensive efforts you're ever going to see, I think. I mean, they were really, really good. Standing tall and forcing the field goal after that ridiculous punt block, and then, you know, it happens with the kickoff return on the ensuing kick. I don't really think they got tired. I think they might have got discouraged a little bit, but they never stopped fighting, and that was pretty impressive. They held Alabama to 3 of 16 on third down. That was a hell of an effort by the defense, and one that I didn't want to go let go without recognizing, because that's really damn good. Held Alabama to a 28% success rate. I don't know when the last time that happened was. I'm gonna find out from Bill Connolly, but that is incredible. So only basically 1.25 of Alabama's plays were successful. Florida State, 38%. Now, Alabama is a little bit more explosive on a per-play basis, and you have to be explosive. They did a better job of hitting big plays. They had a 34-yard run with Harris, which set up the opening drive. They didn't score on that ultimately. And they had a 53-yard pass to Calvin Ridley, which was about 20% of their yards on the night. Only 13 first downs. Man. But that was bad. Bad to waste that. And then we got to talk about the offense, which I got to say, I felt like was playing a little bit better than their numbers suggested, at least for about the first 40 minutes of the game. First half, they moved the ball pretty well, I thought. I mean, you had... Your first drive went 37. Francois, wrong shoulders a guy, but they also had some other issues there. Had a 90-yard touchdown drive on the second one of the game. Had a 50-yard drive where they had the field goal missed, but just not enough. I'll credit Jimbo Fisher for coming out and throwing, because I think he realized, like everybody else does, that unless you have four NFL guys up front and Zeke Elliott, like Ohio State did that year, you're not going to run on Alabama. It just doesn't happen. They just take it away. Their players are that good. And that's their mentality. And they have that much size. I mean, they really are bigger than everybody else you play. I thought the offensive line was a lot better than I expected it to be. I thought they would get thrown around and kind of trashed. I think they held up in a pretty encouraging way for the most part. Now, people will not agree with that, I'm sure, but you got to realize you're kind of grading this thing on a curve. You're playing Alabama. They're just kind of at a different level. both from a coaching and a talent standpoint. Receivers, I thought, did pretty well. I mean, I can't think of any obvious drops, maybe because it's 2:20 in the morning and I'm not, you know, not thinking straight or something, but, you know, pretty well. Didn't create enough explosive plays down the field. That was largely the issue. We spoke about in the preview podcast, hey, you've got to create explosive plays. You can't drive the ball on Alabama on these, you know, 10-play, 12-play drives. And they actually did it one time. They had an 11-play, 90-yard touchdown drive, which was really impressive. Probably the best drive of the game by either team. But they couldn't sustain it, and they didn't hit enough big plays down the field. I think you saw Cam Akers is probably the answer, and maybe not Chuckez Patrick. We'll have to see. I'm sure there's some things that Patrick did well that I didn't pick up on. And the quarterback was not bad for about the first 40 minutes of the game. I mean, if you look at what he did, I think he started out really the first couple throws. His first 11 throws, he had 9 completions. So he started out 9 of 11. That's pretty solid. He had throws for 9, 21, 5, 11, 38, 10, 4, 15, and 3. And certainly should have had a pass interference that probably would have changed the game. And if they get that called, there's a good chance Francois never hurts his knee or his whatever he hurt. I think it's his knee. Certainly his leg, his left leg. But that didn't happen. And that was a fine, you know, play by FSU, which went uncalled and could have easily been a touchdown or at least a chance at one. Starts 9 of 11. Finishes, 19 of 33. So he was 10 of his next 22. That's not great. Alabama made some adjustments. Florida State couldn't really counter him. And that's not too uncommon in those games. He definitely started pressing some and threw those two interceptions, which were, I think, on him. The one certainly was. Probably just trying a little too hard. You know, they're college kids. Got baited into it as well. I think Bama recognized some of his weaknesses. And he didn't look, I don't know, that much different to me tonight than he did last year. If there was some major jump being made, I didn't necessarily see it. But also, I thought he was somewhat better, at least. And you got to remember, he's playing a really tough opponent. But then he goes down. And Fisher kind of alluded to the fact that it was on him, I think. Let's check this quote out. This is from the post-game press conference transcript courtesy of ASAP Sports. I'm reading this from Tomahawk Nation. Question: what did you see on that play when DeAndre rolled out and fell down? Jimbo Fisher: he just, like, got tackled, but I believe it was a side adjust. We should have thrown the slant on the backside, but I'll wait and see. Well, that's kind of the quarterback and receiver's job there. I don't know if it was if the receiver missed it or if the quarterback missed it or if they both missed it. Quote, but I'll wait and see, again, until I look at the film exactly where the decoration was. I'm not sure he said the word decoration there. That might be a transcription error. Should have hot rifled and got it out. I don't think that's the right transcription either. But anyway, basically what he's saying there is he should have, you know, hot readed it, side adjusted, and got the ball out. And now he's hurt. I got to tell you, man, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I was very prepared to come on this podcast about 55 minutes through this game and say, look, it's a loss. It's a loss that was not as close as you wanted the game to be. I mean, obviously you want the win, but if you're going to lose, you want to win a loss that looks more respectable down the line for the playoff committee. And it's a loss that hurts, but it's also not a loss that's going to keep you out of the playoff. And the team showed a lot of good things tonight. This is a team that's going to score, I think, a pretty decent number of points because of the skill position talent. Maybe the offensive line was more consistent tonight than it had been last year. I think they had fewer just big-time mental busts, and that was a good thing to see. DeAndre made some really nice throws. And the defense is good enough to win a national title, I think. But, man, if this is – things changed with five, six minutes left in the ballgame. Francois goes down, and now you're – unless he makes some kind of miraculous recovery, I don't think that you're very likely to make the playoff or to win the conference. I still think you have six automatic wins with James Blackman, who's your backup, and we'll talk more about him tomorrow. But we're going to find out real soon what is the value over replacement player of DeAndre Francois, and this is where the other DeAndre getting kicked out of school hurts. This is where Malik Henry getting booted also hurts, right? Because you have a true freshman as your backup when you could have had another redshirt sophomore or a redshirt freshman, guys with some experience in the program. And I know they like Blackman a lot. I do too. I'm not convinced the drop-off from Francois to Blackman is quite what some of the folks tonight who've probably had a couple after the game are thinking. But I do think it's a decent drop-off. That's not good. They got five games left that I think they could conceivably really have to fight to win. If you looked at Miami today, I didn't get to watch them yet. Obviously, I was doing something. It seemed like they handled Bethune-Cookman. They come to town in 2 weeks. Can you get James Blackman ready in 2 weeks to win that ballgame? Can you hide his flaws long enough and not have other teams figure out what he can and can't do long enough to beat NC State the week after? Because I think, and of course you can always play games with injury stuff and whatnot and say, oh, he got injured after the fourth game and the medical redshirt stuff. But I don't think you throw James Blackman in there and burn his redshirt or redshirt potential if you didn't think Francois' injury was serious. I think that Blackman going in against Alabama was an indication of what the coaching staff felt about Francois' injury at the time. And we're going to have to see. I'm not going to rush to any kind of judgment as far as predictions, but this is not a good thing, certainly. But you got that defense, and I just don't think that there's going to be too many games, if any, where this team's going to need to score in the 40s to win. They'll play some better offenses in Alabama, probably. Not a ton better, but somewhat better. But I don't really think they'll play many defenses, if any, that are better. And I don't think they'll play a better team than Alabama all year. I don't think the season's over. I mean, they have some shot to win the conference still. Now, it probably won't happen if it's Blackman for the rest of the year. I don't know the extent of Francois' injury. He looked pretty distraught out there, and I felt terrible for the kid. But, you know, this isn't like losing a Jameis, right? This is losing a good college quarterback, not a superstar. Not the way he played tonight, not the way he played last season. Maybe he would have got there, but if you're looking at, hey, what is Florida State losing here? You can't look at the projection that maybe would have come after a whole nother year in a system, 2018 type loss. It's what is his actual current level of ability that they lost? And I guess we'll have to see about that. So we'll join you probably tomorrow night with a more in-depth show. Hopefully this sounded all right for you. And get it uploaded. And hopefully you can enjoy it on your travels back. Please support our sponsors, Louisiana Hot Sauce and Mattis Social Township and Centrality for the Table Restaurant Group. Very much appreciated, and spread the word. If you like the Nolcast, I thought we did a, I mean, it's kind of pointless now, but I really thought our preview episode the other night was very good and enjoyed doing it. One of the better episodes we've done. And we'll probably analyze kind of what happened in that and some of the stuff that did happen, some of the stuff that didn't, and maybe it's all pointless now because Francois's hurt. Maybe it's not. I guess we'll have to see. For now, take care. Hope everybody has a safe trip back from Atlanta and a safe Labor Day weekend as well, and we'll talk to you soon.